The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Rory DeLargy in the studio. It's day three of Chester's May meeting. There's also Lingfield in the afternoon on the flat and jumps racing from Market Raisin. We'll finish the day with three turf meetings in the evening, Ascot, Nottingham and Ripon. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you. Mark, red letter day at Lingfield, return of the turf flat.
Turf, it's a mixed card, isn't
first
it?
First three of turf, I think. Yeah,
yeah, which is good.
Yeah, maybe more. Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. First five are turf.
Good stuff.
Last two.
On the order, yeah. Good stuff. That's something else to look forward to. We're going to focus on Chester, the third day of the May meeting, in just a short while. But before we move on to that, Mick, let's talk about what happened so far at Chester. We can reflect on the first day of action, and we'll start with Marwan Kukash, Dr. Marwan Kukash. He's had another winner in the Chester Cup following on from last year. This time, he wasn't happy with just a winner. He had the first two as Suju led home Angel Gabriel. Communicator was third and Mubarak's a fourth. We know he targets Chester and he's got another big prize.
Yeah, they were calling the ground good to firm in places prior to racing, but I thought it rode pretty slow, didn't you? The tyres reflected that as well.
They had a bit of rain, didn't they?
Yes, and I think it'll probably ride a bit on the dead side for the remainder of the meeting. Yes, of course, the Ball Doctor backing up in the Chester Cup is his favourite race at his favourite meeting. He'll be delighted with that, and not only did he have the winner, he had the 1-2, didn't he?
Yeah,
that was an expensive penalty that Angel Gabriel picked up at Ripon, wasn't it?
Mm.
Despite the
Proved
fact that technically with his new mark he was still £2 well in, it still managed to get him beaten, hadn't it?
Yeah, he drifted a little bit under pressure as well, and a good turn of foot from Suju to come through and win.
Yeah, a confident ride from Ryan Moore, wasn't it?
Mm.
And, I think he heads to Royal Ascot for the Ascot Stakes next, and you know, he's a big improver, this horse. I love the breed in Manduro, Art of an In the Wings mare, and he has that all-important turn of foot. But I would have bet they've already spoken to Moore's agent about keeping the partnership alive for Ascot.
Yes, and another horse, another filly, well, a filly that will be going to Royal Ascot is Anipa. She won the Cheshire Oaks on the Wednesday as well. She won't go to the Oaks by the sounds of things. They're aiming her at Royal Ascot. And another winner by See the Stars as well. He's making a good name for himself.
He's having a good run at the moment, isn't he, See the Stars? And his fillies are doing well too. That's good to see. And another, Mark, the dam of Anipa, a daughter of In the Wings.
Mm. Yeah.
He's a good influence for good horses in the wings. And, I mean, this is not a trial as such for the Oaks. No winner of this has gone on to win the Oaks since 2007. Light Shift, the last one to do the double. And having said that, the 2011 runner-up winner, Wonder of Wonders, went on to just find 1-2 good at Epsom. So, but she wouldn't be out of place in the lineup, Anipa, but they've got other things in mind. Ribblesdale, I think.
Yes, so we'll probably see her go to Royal Ascot instead. One horse that we will see in the Oaks, or one filly we will see in the Oaks, is Tagruder. She was very impressive at the weekend at Newmarket. She's going to go to the Oaks now without a prep run. Another one by See the Stars. It's going to be a good Oaks, and she's the market leader at the moment and been very well backed after that performance on the weekend.
Absolutely.
Do you see her as the one to beat, Mick, at the moment?
I think she probably is, as long as she handles the track, and you just seem a fairly well-balanced filly with a good equable temperament, so can't see too many problems there. And she looks to have all the credentials required.
She does, and just getting a price on her, she was backed again yesterday. 9-4 now at the top of the betting for the Oaks.
Short enough, but you know, put one up to beat her.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's the case at the moment. Whilst we're talking about Newmarket as well, she was obviously impressive in the Pretty Polly Stakes. The 2,000 guineas Tomo was the supposed hand and first ring. Of course, he won it with Knight of Thunder. But they've done some tests on Tomo and they can't find any reason to explain his poor run.
I know. I wasn't overly taken with his win in the with the Craven one, wasn't it?
Craven, yeah.
Yeah.
That was workmanlike, wasn't it?
It was a laboured performance. It took him an awful long time to shake off the runner-up, didn't it?
And the Grey Gatsby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, he should have put up, you know, he should have been able to sort of dispose of him a lot easier than he did. And he maybe just ended up having a harder race than we anticipated at the time. That instead of bringing him on, it's knocked him back.
Mm.
Could be.
Is that what you put it down to them? Just
I think it has to be. Yeah. If there's nothing showing up in the tests, he just had a harder race for his seasonary appearance than they anticipated. And instead of taking him forward, it's knocked him back. Okay. I think he'll come back again.
Yeah.
But I think he might just need a week or two.
Yeah, okay. Well, we hope so, because he was a good horse. And finally, the final bit of news we're going to look at before we move on to Friday's racing. Al-Kazim, triple Group 1 winner last year. He's back in training. He proved infertile at stud. And the son of Dubawi will be brought back to Roger Charlton's yard and back in training.
Yeah, it's not infertile, Mark, because he's got about 25 mares in foal.
Right.
But it just hasn't met the required standard. The fertility levels required in this high poker game stakes, and as a result, they've had to pull the pin.
Yeah, now, it's subfertile, isn't it? Not infertile.
Exactly, yes. I don't know what Al-Kazim thinks about it, but I don't suppose he'll get asked. But anyway, it's good to see him back.
It is, yes. Hopefully he can do what he did last year and win some Group 1s, because he was one of the most improved horses last year, wasn't he? Really made a good name for himself.
And imagine, I mean, I haven't really gone into the into the story in any great depth. He's probably going to remain an entire. And who knows, he may well improve his fertility rate with another year on his back. I don't know. It's a strange one. And 25 mares in foal suggests to me he's not infertile.
No.
Isn't he?
Just not fertile enough.
Exactly, yes.
Fair enough. Mm. Anyway, it'd be good to see him back on the track.
And he's one of the best of the Dubawi bunch, isn't he? And Dubawi's got some great horses, and he's one of the best of them.
Mm.
We'll have to see how he comes back to racing, won't we?
Yeah, they are going to stand him privately as well, so he will remain an entire.
Well, that's good news anyway. Yeah, you'd hate to see him get begelded and just whatever.
He don't deserve that, does he?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, let's move on, Mick. Let's move on to Friday's racing. More good racing to come on the Rudy. We're going to look ahead to day three of the Chester May meeting.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Chester then. Day three of the May meeting. Mick's picked out three races for us, and the first of them is the 145. We finish with the Earl Grosvenor Handicap, and it's a Class 2 handicap over the extended 7 furlongs. 14 of them in the lineup. Competitive stuff, as you'd imagine here. And what do you like in the first race, Mick?
I've got three on the shortlist. I'll just go through them in race card order. We've got the 2012 winner in this, Pintura, trained by Kevin Ryan. Graham Lee taking the ride. He won this off 92 back in 2012. He's got to try and win it again at the age of 7 off 100. Has had a prep run back for this, and I think he should be all the better for that. And the headgear's back on as well, the cheap pieces which were missing for his seasonal reappearance. And with his form round here, with the bit of rain that's fallen in the area, I don't think it'll hurt his chances. And I think he's got first rate each way chances, Pintura, in the Earl of Grosvenor, a race he's won in the past. The selection's going to be, though, Here Comes When, trained by Andrew Balding. Eugene Murphy taking off the three. He's drawn the one box. He won the three-year-old handicap at this meeting 12 months ago, so he knows he handles the track. And he's been gelded since his final start of 2013, when he was a little bit disappointing, but he'd been very progressive in three runs up to that. He's still very much unexposed. This is only his seventh career start, and in 2013 we saw his mark go from 82 to 90. It actually went to 97, but because of that slightly under par effort on his final start, the handicapper gave him £2 back, which is very nice of him. And as I say, he won on this card 12 months ago. He's going to be very hard to beat. I think here comes when. And the other one to consider is Capo Rosso, mainly because he's comes here in such good form. He's got a bit of a coffin box in 11. But Tom Dascombe targets the meeting. His turf mark's been dragged up by his all-weather exploits, sadly. But he's still respected, being in such good form. Stayed on well to win that handicap at Wolverhampton on his first start of the season. And the fractions, the sectionals, had the weights and measures boys drooling.
Right.
So it was a good performance. And a horse in form like that has got to be respected. Mm-hmm. He's got a bit of a coffin box, as I said, but he's very much worth his place on the shortlist. But I'm confident about Here Comes When.
Okay, Here Comes When then for Mick in the 145. The second race he has picked out is the 215, and this is the D Stakes, a listed race over the extended mile and a quarter. And it's a race that Aidan O'Brien has done well with in recent years. He won it last year with Magician, and the year before with Astrology. And if you go back to 2005, he won it with Gypsy King as well. He's got two in the lineup on Friday, Century and Kingfisher. Do you see either of those at the top of your shortlist, Mick, or is there something else in here?
Well, they were, yeah, they're both of note, aren't they? Century, he won on his debut in the Curra, despite being as green as a cabbage, and showed he stayed well that day. He just ran no sort of race in the Racing Post Trophy, did he? But it was very quick on him. You know, it was only 2 weeks after that Curra maiden, and I think that could have been the key thing. Couple that, you know, with the journey over to Doncaster,
yeah,
only a couple of weeks after making a belated debut. And as a result, how much did he learn on debut? He ran no sort of race to learn anything in the Racing Post Trophy. I just wonder if his lack of experience is going to count against him.
Hmm.
He's obviously a decent horse. We'll know a lot more after the D Stakes. The other runner, Kingfisher, he's got an official rating of 98 and still only that Killarney maiden win to his name. But when you have a look at the horses that he's been taking on,
yeah,
Australia, Free Eagle, Berkshire,
yeah,
it's not surprising he's only won one race, is it? And he's got the benefit of that reappearance run 27 days ago. Didn't pull up any trees that day, but at least he's got the run under his belt, and he could turn out to be possibly the better of the two Aidan O'Brien runners. But I'm going to give the vote to somewhat a horse who just got to bounce back. He's been disappointing the last twice. His final run at two and his first run at three were slightly below par. He was a very progressive two-year-old, and he also disappointed in the Racing Post Trophy, same as Century.
Mm.
But, you know, that excellent close second behind Berkshire in the Royal Lodge was a really good effort. That stamped him as a very useful two-year-old. And with the benefit of that run under his belt, I think we'll see a different horse on Friday. And I think he'll take the D Stakes somewhat. Okay. It might be a decent price as well.
Okay, yeah, he finished ahead of Kingfisher in that race at Newmarket as well, didn't he? The Royal Lodge, so
yes,
should
yes.
confirm form in your opinion.
Hopefully, yeah, and I think there's more to come. And he's also sort of got plenty of track craft as well. Against some, this is not, you know, a good track for inexperienced horses, as we've seen, no. Is it? So hopefully he can put his experience to good use.
Okay, somewhat then in the 215, the next race is the 245. That's the Ormond Stakes, which is a Group 3. No real betting here for you, Mick. So it is, you know, it's a Group 3 race. Some good, nice performers in there, but it's a bit tricky, isn't it, with only five of them in the
line? Yeah, Ernest Hemingway's out. But it's interesting. We see the return of Brown Panther. Mount Athos comes into it for the Bold Doctor. He's a course and distance winner, of course. He'll be popular.
Won this race last year.
Won this race 12 months ago, as you quite rightly say. And different trainer now. We're now with Botti. Yeah. And we've also got Banoffee and Jathaba. But the one I think who might improve past them all is Hillstar, with the benefit of that run under his belt. And, you know, with the Stout team hitting top form with the York May meeting just round the corner, I think Hillstar might be the one to beat there.
Okay, Hillstar, possibly the one to beat in the Ormond Stakes, but Mick has a stronger opinion in the 350. This
is
a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs, and by the sounds of it, Mick, you're quite confident on one in here.
I am. Not many Chester meetings go by without an Eric Olsen winner, and I think they might have just teed King of Eden up for this 350. Jason Hart, who's very much Eric's go-to jockey when he fancies one, is in the saddle. He's landed a good box in two, which is priceless in a 7 furlong 14 runner contest. And he is running into form. Things didn't quite pan out for him at Newcastle last time. That was his second start of the season, but he still ran well. Everything in place for a big run. He's running off 80, he's one off higher, and he's won here. Good draw, good apprentice. Horse running into form. He looks very solid, King of Eden. A couple of others to mention. The Fahy pair, interesting. Gabriel's Bounty. Now, isn't it interesting that they've kept him after 2 years off? I haven't seen him since his three-year-old career when he was a very much horse going the right way. He ran his best race at this meeting with an excellent second behind Jack Dexter. Disappointed on your final start, suggesting that whatever's ailed him went wrong that day, and off 82 with that Jack Dexter form, and the booking of Ryan Moore suggests that they've got him where they want him. Connections have been patient. I'll tell you what, he's drawn one as well, if they have got him wound up, I'd be very, very afraid if I'd back King of Eden that Gabriel's Bounty was meaning business. And the other one of Fahy's gate post for the doctor, David Nolan, taking the ride. He's got a moderate strike rate, but he's off a fair mark. He can run off 82, and he has been placed in the 90s, and he has got form here and on softish ground as well. So don't rule him out. He's coming back from 199 days off. Hasn't quite fared so well with the draw in seven, but that's not too bad. So he may well run into the frame at a decent price. But I'm going to stay with King of Eden, probably keeping a close eye on Gabriel's Bounty in the market.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, Mick, if you'll spin us through day three of the May meeting.
Yeah, race one, the 145, very competitive renewal of the Earl of Grosvenor. And I think that Here Comes When can pick up where he left off last season. And his first run since being gelded as well, only his seventh career start. Ushin Murphy on board for Andrew Balding. In the D Stakes, the 215, it's a listed race, and Aidan O'Brien sending a couple over. He often farms this, but he might have to play second fiddle to Mark Johnson's Somewhat, who should be all the better for his seasonal reappearance. And if he can come back to his Royal Lodge form, when he just got nailed by Berkshire, he should be too good for them. And in the Chester 350, cracking renewal of this, and I'm going for King of Eden from his good box in two to add to his decent course record. And but I am concerned about Gabriel's Bounty's handicap mark. I think he looks thrown in if we got him back to his best.
Okay, good stuff. Should be another good day at Chester on Friday. Thank you very much, Mick, and enjoy it.
My pleasure, Mark. Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Friday's racing at Chester. You'll hear the action from there and the rest of the day's racing as well. It's Market Racing in Lingfield alongside that in the afternoon, Ascot, Nottingham and Ripon in the evening. It's all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Rory DeLargy in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.